إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد Then to continue with Al-Aqidah Tahawiyya with the explanation of Shaykh Salih Al-Fawzan, Hafidhullah. Then last week, we were continuing on the topic of Qadr, Al-Qadha wal-Qadr, preordainment and pre-decree. And we took points number 106 to point 110. So with regard to some questions about what we had last week, and who can tell me the answer to the question, who from amongst the messengers, the angels and the righteous people, who from amongst them can make slight changes to what is written in the preserved tablet, Allah al-Mahfuz? Who is it that can make from those who can make slight changes to Allah al-Mahfuz, the preserved tablet? Of course, the correct answer being no one. No one whatsoever, no one, no matter how high their station, no one can change that which Allah has written down in the preserved tablet. Neither any, no one whatsoever, no messenger, no angel, no righteous person, no one. With regard to the second question, then we had a point that Shaykh Al-Fawzan mentioned in his explanation, that belief in Qadr, belief in pre-decree, it consoles a person. It brings consolation to the person. Who can mention how that is? How is that the case? Roughly. As the brother mentioned, it consoles a person that if some calamity strikes him, that he knows that that is something written by Allah. And there was no way that it was going to miss him. And likewise, if he misses out on something, then he knows from his belief in pre-decree that Allah wrote down that he would miss that and it was never going to come to him. So the person is therefore consoled by that. He doesn't feel regret and so on. Shaykh Al-Fawzan, he mentioned a hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us not to do something. If something strikes us, some calamity or something strikes us, he told us that we should not say something. What did he tell us not to say? The person should not start saying, "Law, if only I'd done this, if only I'd done that." He should not say that. Instead of that, he told us something else that we should say. If something missed us or so on, we don't say, "If only I'd done this," but what should we say? Indeed, instead, we should say, "Qaddar Allah wa ma sha fa'al." It is just what Allah has decreed, and whatever Allah wishes, He does. In the same hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned a reason for not saying "lo," if only. He mentioned a reason for not saying it. What was that reason that he mentioned? What was he mentioned that saying "lo," if only this, if only I'd done that, it does what? What's the person saying that? What does it do? What does it result in? Yeah. He mentioned it opens up the actions of Satan. opening up the actions of Satan upon a person. Then a further question then, out of two people, which of these two would be correct? A person who says that we must rely upon Allah, we must have tawakkul upon Allah and rely upon Him, and there is no need for anything else. Or the second person who says, rather, we have to work and strive, and then the results which we desire are guaranteed. Which of those two people is correct? The first person who says what we need is reliance upon Allah. If we have reliance upon Allah, then that's the end of the matter. We don't need anything else. And the second person says, no, we need to work and we need to strive. And then the results are guaranteed for us. Which one is correct? Neither is correct. Neither one is correct. Both are wrong. The first person who says we just rely upon Allah and there's no need for anything else, then what about actions? What about a person's righteous actions? As we had last week and the week before as well, a part of a person's true tawakkul, the tawakkul of the Sufis is like that. They just say we just sit here, we don't do any actions, and we rely upon Allah. And whatever Allah decrees is going to fall in our laps. That's the result of what they say. And that is not correct. Rather, part of correct tawakkul is a person who strives and acts. And along with that has tawakkul in Allah. And that was the second person who says we work and we strive, and then the results are guaranteed. No, as Sheikh al-Fawzan said last week, the results lie with Allah. The working and striving is correct, but the results, for that we depend and rely upon Allah. So neither of those two sayings are correct. Alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. With regard to the point that Allah the Most High sometimes withholds things from us, even if it's something that we strive for and we wish for good in striving for that thing, still Allah withholds that thing from us. Then why is that the case? According to what Sheikh al-Fawzan mentioned, why is that the case? That Allah prevents us from that thing. He doesn't grant it to us. Yeah. Because Allah knows best, and Allah knows best what is good for us. And Allah knows that that thing, as the Sheikh mentioned, Allah knows that that thing will be harmful for us. We don't know, we think it's something good, but Allah knows it's will be something harmful for us, so therefore he prevents it from us. And finally, who can mention, it ought to be the case that most or all of us could mention, the four levels of iman, the four levels of pre-decree, the four essential levels that we understand with regard to pre-decree, al-qadr. What are the four levels that we need to know? Could turn it around and just ask if there is there anyone who doesn't know, but I won't do that. Seems to be mostly the same hands, though.
Loss management, something before insecurity. He's writing on this exclusive tablet.
Yeah.
He's feeling visionary.
Yeah.
And finally, that he created.
Yeah. Firstly, al-ilm, that Allah knew whatever was going to occur. Secondly, al-kitaba, that Allah wrote that down, that whatever was going to occur, Allah wrote it down. Thirdly, al-mashi'a, that Allah willed that it would happen. And fourthly, al-khalq, that Allah created it. And with regard to this week, then we'll take the last part of the section on pre-decree, al-qadr, beginning with point 111. So the author, Al-Tahawi, rahimahullah, he said, وَذَلِكَ مِنْ أُقَدِ الْإِيمَانِ وَأَصُولِ الْمَعْرِفَةِ. Obviously continuing from what we had last week. He said, and that is from the essential fundamentals of Iman and the fundamental principles of knowledge and awareness of Allah. Obviously referring to the matter of belief in Al-Qadha wal-Qadr, belief in preordainment and pre-decree. That he said, and that is from the essential fundamentals of Iman and the fundamental principles of knowledge and awareness of Allah. Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafidhullah, he said, this creed, this aqidah, the creed of Al-Qadha wal-Qadr, the creed of preordainment and pre-decree, is a part of the aqidah, is a part of the belief, the creed of Iman in Allah, the perfect and most high. The belief in pre-decree is a part of Iman in Allah, a part of belief, true belief in Allah, the perfect and most high. So the person who is not a believer in preordainment and pre-decree will not be a true believer in Allah, the majestic and most high. Rather, he is one who is belittling Allah, the mighty and majestic. So Iman in it, Iman in pre-decree, is from the aqidah, it's from the correct belief. And it is not a secondary issue or matter of detail. It's not a secondary issue or matter of detail. It is from the aqidah, the most crucial of affairs. It's from your creed and belief. And he said, so Iman, true faith, in preordainment and pre-decree, Al-Qadha wal-Qadr, is from the very core of aqidah. It's from the very core of creed and belief. And it is a pillar, a rukn, from the pillars of Iman. And then he gives the evidence for that. He said, just as he, alayhi salatu wasalam, said, and he quotes a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that he said, al-Imanu an tu'mina billahi wa malaikatihi wa kutubihi wa rusulihi واليوم الآخر وتؤمن بالقدر خيره وشره. Hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Iman, true faith, is that you truly believe in Allah and in His angels and in His books and in His messengers and in the last day, and that you truly believe in pre-decree, the good of it and the bad of it. Obviously that being a part of the famous hadith of Jibreel alayhi salam, when Jibreel alayhi salam came to teach the Muslims the affairs of their religion. The hadith reported by Muslim from a hadith of Umar radiallahu an, and also reported with the like of it by Al-Bukhari as hadith number 50, and by Muslim from a hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. As we said, that it's the famous, it's a part of the famous hadith of Jibreel alayhi salam. And that's where Shaykh al-Fawzan ends this point. And then with regard to the next point, still on the same topic, then At-Tahawi rahimahullah said, وَالْإِعْتِرَافِ بِتَوْحِيدِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى وَرُبُوبِيَّتِهِ كما قال تعالى في كتابه وخلق كل شيء فقدره تقديرا وقال تعالى وكان أمر الله قدرا مقدورا. He said, and it is from the affirmation of the Tawheed of Allah, it referring to pre-decree, the belief in pre-decree, and it is from the affirmation of the Tawheed of Allah the Most High and His Lordship, His Rububiyyah. Just as He, the Most High, said in His book, وَخَلَقَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ فَقَدَّرَهُ تَقْدِيرًا, Surah Al-Furqan, the 25th surah, ayah 2, with the explanation, He, Allah, created everything and gave it a pre-decreed measure. And He said, and He, the Most High, said, وَكَانَ أَمْرُ اللَّهِ قَدَرًا مَقْدُورًا, Surah Al-Ahzab, the 33rd surah, ayah 38, with the explanation, and the command of Allah is a decree determined. Shaykh Al-Fawzan, hafidhullah, he said, Iman, true faith in preordainment and pre-decree, Al-Qadha wal-Qadr, enters within Tawheed ar-Rububiyyah. It enters within Tawheed of Lordship. Because it is from the actions of Allah, the Majestic and Most High. Allah's pre-decree, that is from the actions of Allah, the Majestic and Most High. Obviously, Tawheed, referring to Allah's actions, is Tawheed ar-Rububiyyah, Tawheed of Lordship. Then he said, so whoever denies al-Qadha wal-Qadr, whoever denies preordainment and pre-decree, will not be a believer in Tawheed ar-Rububiyyah. He will not be a believer in Tawheed of Lordship. And he quotes the ayahs that the author brought, and another ayah as well. He said, وَخَلَقَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ فَقَدَّرَهُ تَقْدِيرًا, Surah Al-Furqan, the 25th surah, ayah 2. As we had before, with the explanation, He, Allah, created everything and gave it a pre-decreed measure. وَكَانَ أَمْرُ اللَّهِ قَدَرًا مَقْدُورًا, Surah Al-Ahzab, the 33rd surah, ayah 38, as we had before, with the explanation, and the command of Allah is a decree determined. And he quotes a further ayah, إِنَّ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقْنَاهُ بِقَدَرٍ, Surah Al-Qamar, the 54th surah, ayah 49, with the explanation, we created everything with a pre-decreed measure. We created everything with a pre-decreed measure. Shaykh Al-Fawzan said, these three ayahs, along with other ayahs, are a proof for having iman in preordainment and pre-decree. And he quotes two further ayahs in that regard. مَا أَصَابَ مِن مُصِيبَةٍ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ, Surah At-Taghabun, the 64th surah, ayah 11, with the explanation, no calamity strikes except with the permission of Allah. And he quotes the next ayah that he quotes, the last one that he quotes, fifth ayah. مَا أَصَابَ مِن مُصِيبَةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ, Surah Al-Hadid, the 57th surah, ayah 22, with the explanation, no calamity strikes upon the earth nor in yourselves except that it is written in a book. Shaykh Al-Fawzan said, meaning al-lawh al-mahfuz, meaning in the preserved tablet. So all of these ayahs, all these five ayahs and others, are a proof for iman in pre-decree, preordainment and pre-decree. Then At-Tahawi, following on, says, فَوَيْلٌ لِمَنْ صَارَ لِلَّهِ تَعَالَى فِي الْقَدَرِ خَصِيمًا, Point number 113. So woe to one who becomes an adversary, an opponent So woe to one who becomes an adversary to Allah, the Most High, regarding pre-decree. In a footnote they mention, or rather in a footnote in the explanation, Sheikh al-Fawzan says, the person who enters into the affairs of preordainment and raises doubts concerning them, he is an adversary, an opponent to Allah. And iman, true faith, will not be correct except with having true faith in preordainment and pre-decree, al-qadha wal-qadr, with its four levels. Without that, your iman will not be correct. He said, unless you have iman in pre-decree and preordainment with its four levels, in accordance with what occurs in the book and the sunnah. So do not enter into asking many questions and raising problems and bringing doubts and false ideas. So he mentions four things not to do with regard to pre-decree. So do not enter into it asking many questions, raising problems and doubts and false ideas. Because the meaning of this is disputing with Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. I mean, the person who has this, whose approach is this with regard to pre-decree, then in reality, is it like a person who is disputing with Allah, the Mighty and Majestic? So those people who enter into preordainment and pre-decree, they do not reach anything. They don't reach any goal. Rather, they just fall into bewilderment and confusion and corruption of aqidah, corruption of creed and belief. So here in this point, Sheikh al-Fawzan in his explanation has contrasted the two different approaches. The correct approach, which is to have iman in pre-decree with its four levels, as occurs in the book and the sunnah. And then the second approach, to enter into that in the manner that he mentioned, asking too many questions about it, raising problems, bringing doubts, and entering false ideas into it. And then he mentioned what the result of that is. They don't reach anything, they don't reach any positive goal, rather they just fall into bewilderment, confusion, and corrupting their aqidah. Then At-Tahawi continues with point number 114 about the person who is like this. وَأَحْضَرَ لِلنَّظَرِ فِيهِ قَلْبًا سَقِيمًا. So carrying on from the last point, so whoever, or rather he said, so woe to the one who becomes an adversary to Allah, the Most High, regarding pre-decree. And now this point, point 114, and who presents a diseased heart to delve into it. Sheikh al-Fawzan said, so the affairs of preordainment and pre-decree and the affairs of Allah, the Mighty and Majestic, cannot be reached by consideration and thinking about it and the intellect. It can't be reached by that. So therefore do not overburden your intellect with something which it is not able to do. For the intellect is limited. It is not possible for it to reach everything. So do not enter into bewildering affairs and affairs which it is incapable of. Obviously, first and foremost here, in this point, referring to, don't enter your intellect into the matter of pre-decree. With regard to the next point, point number 115, still carrying on about the same person who behaves like this, لقد التمس بوهمه في فحص الغيب سرا كتيما. In his deluded attempt to uncover the hidden and the unseen, he has attempted to uncover a secret which is secure. Obviously, we're referring to the matter again of pre-decree. That pre-decree, as we had last time, is from the ghaib. The pre-decree is something secret. It's not a secret, it's from the hidden and the unseen, the ghaib. So Al-Tahawi says here, the person who tries to enter into it in this way, in his deluded attempt to uncover the hidden and unseen, he has attempted to uncover a secret which is secure. Sheikh Al-Fawzan said, because Al-Qadha wal-Qadr, preordainment and pre-decree, is the secret of Allah, the Majestic and Most High, in His creation. So therefore do not search after it, and nor were you given that duty. I mean, don't seek after it, don't search into it, and nor were you given the duty of doing that anyway. Rather, you were given the duty of action and obedience and complying. You were given the duty of al-amal, action, wa-ta'ah, obedience to Allah, wal-imtithal, complying with the commands. That's what you've been commanded with. And with regard to the final point on pre-decree, again about the person who behaves in this way, he continues, وَعَادَ بِمَا قَالَ فِيهِ أَفَّاكًا أَثِيمًا. And what he has said about it causes him to become a sinful and great liar. And the person who enters into pre-decree in the manner that's been described in the previous few points, the one who enters into it and speaks about it in that way, then he said, and what he has said about it causes him to become a sinful and great liar. Sheikh Al-Fawzan said, meaning all his speech and all his research will be just a lie, meaning kathib, falsehood, and itham, and sin, and Allah's refuge is sought, because he has done that which he was not commanded with, and he has entered into that which is not his affair. And with regard to the next point, then the author, At-Tahawi, he moves onto a new topic of Aqeedah. With point number 117, he says, وَالْعَرْشُ وَالْكُرْسِيُّ حَقٌّ. And the throne and the footstool are true. He moves on to the matter of Allah's throne, His arsh, and al-kursi, Allah's footstool. He said, the throne and the footstool are true. Sheikh Al-Fawzan said, Allah the Perfect and Most High created the heavens, and He created the earth, and He created the footstool, the kursi, and He created the arsh, He created the throne. All of these are things created by Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. So the heavens are above the earth, and above the heavens is al-bahr. Above the heavens is the ocean. There's an ocean above the heavens. And above the ocean is the kursi, the footstool. And above the kursi, above the footstool, is the arsh, is the throne. So that is the highest of all the created things. The arsh, Allah's throne, is the highest of all the created things. And that is as occurs in the hadith. Inna as-samawati as-sab'i bin nisbati lil-kursi ka sab'i dirahima ulqiyat Phaetoros, that the seven heavens compared to the kursi, compared to the footstool, are just like seven dirhams, seven small silver coins, thrown in a shield. Then with regard to this narration, then this narration being reported as a hadith is reported by Ibn Jarir al-Tabari in his tafsir and by others. And the verifiers, they make clear that its chain of narration is weak. It's not authentic. His chain of narration contains a weak narrator called Abdurrahman ibn Zayd ibn Aslam, who is a weak narrator. And its chain of narration is also broken after that. This is pointed out by the verifiers of Kitab al-Tawheed, such as Sheikh Jasim al-Dawsiri in his book An-Nahaj al-Sadeed, his checking of Kitab al-Tawheed. And this point is also made by Sheikh al-Albani, rahimahullah, in Silsilat al-Hadith al-Sahiha, number 109. He mentions this hadith in the text, he mentions this hadith in the explanation of the hadith. So this hadith with this wording is not authentic. Then Sheikh al-Fawzan, obviously an authentic wording will follow, inshaAllah. So Sheikh al-Fawzan said, commenting upon this wording, he said, meaning, the seven heavens and their greatness and whatever is within them compared to the kursi, compared to the footstool, are just like seven dirhams, seven small silver coins thrown in the like of a large circle of metal which the fighter uses as a shield. All the seven heavens compared to the footstool, the kursi, are just like seven small pieces of silver thrown in a large shield. The Sheikh said, so what are seven dirhams compared to the large circular shield? In comparison, they are very little. Then the Sheikh said, and in that regard, there is his saying, he the most high, وَسِعَ كُرُسِيُّهُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, Surah Al-Baqarah, Ayah 255. Part of the Ayat al-Kursi, with the explanation, obviously with the mention of the Kursi, where the Ayah gets the name from, Ayat al-Kursi. With the explanation, Allah's Kursi, Allah's footstool, extends over the heavens and the earth. So the ayah makes clear the tremendous size of the kursi. It extends over the heavens and the earth. Then Sheikh al-Fawzan said, and the arsh, the throne, is even greater than the kursi. It's even greater than the footstool. He said, so the kursi, the footstool, compared to the arsh, to the throne, is just like a ring thrown in a desert. Allah's footstool, the kursi, compared to Allah's arsh, Allah's throne, is just like a ring thrown into a desert. The comparison of that ring, little metal ring, compared to the rest of the desert. The Sheikh said, as occurs in the hadith. And we'll have the wording of the hadith later on, inshaAllah. He said, so if you were to throw a ring, a little ring, into a broad, expansive piece of land, what would that size of that ring, what would the size of the ring be compared to the size of that whole desert? Nothing. Nothing. The Sheikh said, so these created things are tremendous. I mean, of course, the heavens, first of all, the heavens, and then the kursi, the footstool, and then the arsh. These created things are tremendous and extremely large, extremely vast. So vast as is known to none except Allah, the Perfect and Most High. And the Shaykh said, so the Arsh, the throne, is the highest of all the created things. And Allah, the Perfect, is high and exalted above His Arsh, above His throne, above His creation. So therefore, the Kursi, the footstool, is beneath the Arsh. The footstool is beneath the throne. And there occurs in a narration that it, the Kursi, the footstool, is the place of the 2 feet. So Shaykh al-Fawzan mentions, there is a narration that mentions, that explains what is meant by al-Kursi. It's the place of the 2 feet. As a side point, as for this narration, then this narration is declared sahih, authentic, by Shaykh al-Albani and others, as a saying of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, with an authentic chain of narration reported by Al-Hakim and Ibn Abi Shayba in his book Sifatul Jannah, that Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma stated this, that the Kursi is the place of the 2 feet. I mean, the Kursi is a footstool. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan said, so the Kursi, the footstool, is something created. And it does not mean al-ilm, it does not mean knowledge. Allah's footstool, His Kursi, does not mean His knowledge. Al-ilm, it doesn't mean that. As has been attributed to Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, that he said with regard to the saying of Allah the Most High, وَسِعَ كُرْسِيُّهُ, His Kursi extends over, that he said it means His knowledge. The Shaykh said, meaning that His knowledge extends over the heavens and the earth. As for this report, the Shaykh just mentioned, it's related from Ibn Abbas that he said this. In regard to this ayah from Ayatul Kursi, he said, the Kursi here in Ayatul Kursi, it means Allah's knowledge. Then as a side point again, then the verifiers, amongst them Shaykh Muqbil, rahimahullah, in his checking of Ibn Kathir, and other verifiers as well, they make clear that this report from Ibn Abbas is not authentic. It's not correct from him. It's not correct that he gave this explanation. The reason being that the narrator from Ibn Abbas is quoted as being his student Sa'id ibn Jubayr, and the narrator from Sa'id ibn Jubayr is Ja'far ibn Abil Mughira. And the verifiers, such as Ibn Manda, they mention that this narrator, Ja'far ibn Abil Mughira, is weak in his narrations from Sa'id ibn Jubayr. So that's why the verifiers, they say this report is weak, not authentic. And lately, amongst the verifiers who stated this was Sheikh Muqbil, rahimahullah. This report's not authentic from Ibn Abbas. He said this ayah, Allah's Kursi, means His knowledge. It's not authentic. Then back to what Sheikh al-Fawzan mentioned, he said, this meaning is correct. The fact that Allah's knowledge extends over the heavens and the earth, that is a correct meaning, no doubt. However, that is not what is meant by the ayah. It's not what is meant by the ayah. I hope we see the difference there. He's saying this means that to say that Allah's knowledge extends over the heavens and the earth is correct. It's a correct statement. But that is not what is meant by the ayah. It's not the correct interpretation and explanation of the ayah. That Allah's kursi extends over the heavens and the earth, that it means His knowledge. That is not a correct understanding. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan said, so the kursi, the footstool, is something created, whereas al-ilm, the knowledge, Allah's knowledge, is an attribute from the attributes of Allah, the majestic, the mighty and majestic. It is not from that which He has created. So he makes a clear difference here. The kursi is a part of Allah's creation. The footstool is part of Allah's creation. Whereas Allah's knowledge, His ilm, is not from His creation. Rather, it is an attribute of His. So Shaykh al-Fawzan said, so therefore it is obligatory to have iman, to truly believe in the arsh, in the throne, and in the kursi, in the footstool. This being something true upon its true reality. And the throne is not, the arsh, the throne is not as the Ash'aris say, and whoever proceeds upon their way, that the arsh, the throne, means al-mulk. It means kingship or sovereignty. So here he quotes the saying of the Ash'aris. They say Allah's arsh, his throne. They say it doesn't mean throne, it means Allah's kingship or sovereignty, al-mulk. So they say, with regard to his saying, He the Most High, Istawa ala al-arsh, Surah Al-A'raf, the 7th surah, Ayah 54. Allah ascended over the throne. He said, they say, the Ash'aris, they say about this ayah, it means he gained control over sovereignty. He overcame or gained control over sovereignty or kingship. That's what they say. The Ash'aris say the meaning of that ayah is Surah Al-A'raf, ayah 54. That Allah gained control of all sovereignty. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, وَهَذَا ضَلَالٌ, and this is misguidance. So the throne, the arsh, is something created. And he quotes the ayah, وَكَانَ عَرْشُهُ عَلَى الْمَاءِ, Surah Hud, the 11th surah, ayah 7. With the explanation, and his throne was upon the water. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, so the throne, al-arsh, or rather he said, to put it the other way, he said, so beneath the throne, beneath the arsh, is the kursi, the footstool. And beneath the kursi, beneath the footstool, is the heavens, and the earth is beneath the heavens. And there occurs in the hadith, فَإِذَا سَأَلْتُمُ اللَّهَ الْجَنَّةَ فَاسْأَلُوهُ الْفِرْدَوْسَ الْأَعْلَى فَإِنَّهُ وَسَطُ الْجَنَّةِ وَأَعْلَى الْجَنَّةِ وَفَوْقَهُ عَرْشُ الرَّحْمَانِ. The saying of Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if you ask of Allah, for paradise, for Jannah, then ask Him for the highest Firdaus, because it is the middle part of paradise and the highest part of paradise, and above it is the throne, the Arsh of the Most Merciful. In a footnote they mention this hadith reported by al-Bukhari as hadith 2790 and 7423. And it's from a hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, so al-Firdaus is the highest of the gardens of paradise. And above it is the throne, the Arsh of the Most Merciful. Then the Shaykh finishes with the final paragraph where he says, so his throne, his arsh, is something created, and it has those who carry it, and they are groups of the angels. For the throne there are hamala, carriers or bearers, and they are from the angels. Then he quotes the ayah, وَيَحْمِلُ عَرْشَ رَبِّكَ فَوْقَهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ ثَمَانِيَةً, Surah Al-Haqqah, the 69th surah, ayah 17, with the explanation, and on that day, the day of resurrection, 8 bearers or carriers will carry the throne of your Lord. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan said, so before the day of resurrection, it will be carried by 4 angels. But when the day of resurrection comes, they will be doubled, and they will become 8. And each one of the angels, each one of the angels who will bear and carry the throne, each one of them is such that his created form, his tremendous size, and his strength cannot be imagined. Then the Sheikh said, as a final refutation of what the Ash'aris say, he said, and could it be said, if someone says that the throne means sovereignty, could it be said that sovereignty will be carried by the angels? In other words, that the Ash'aris who say Allah's arsh means his sovereignty, his kingship. And what about this ayah? On the day of resurrection, that the angels will carry Allah's arsh. They will bear Allah's arsh. What does it mean? And they're saying that they'll carry Allah's sovereignty. And as if that's where Shaykh al-Fawzan ends this explanation, and the points continue with regard to the arsh. But as a final point here, then Shaykh al-Albani, rahimahullah, he said, in his notes, he said, know that the arsh, the throne, is a very great creation, as is proven in the ayahs of the Qur'an and the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is why he, the Most High, attributed it to himself in his saying, Dhul Arsh. Allah described himself as being the possessor or the owner of the throne, I mean, because of its great, the tremendous nature of the throne. And he said, and you'll find other ayahs in the explanation, meaning in the explanation of Ibn Abi al-Izz, or the ayahs about the throne, the arsh. And in the language, it means the throne of the king. Arsh, it means throne, the seat of the king. And from its characteristics mentioned in the Qur'an is, and he mentions the ayah we had a short while ago, وَيَحْمِلُ أَرْشَ رَبِّكَ فَوْقَهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ ثَمَانِيَةً Surah Al-Haqqah, ayah 17. With the explanation, and eight angels will bear the throne of your Lord on the day of resurrection. Then Shaykh al-Albani continued, mentioning the attributes or the characteristics of the throne mentioned in the book and the sunnah. He said, and that it is upon the water. It's the same as Shaykh al-Fawzan mentioned, that above the seven heavens there is an ocean. So Allah's throne is upon the water. Then he said, and in the sunnah, Shaykh al-Albani said, and in the sunnah there is mentioned that the angels who bear the throne, that from the angels who bear the throne, there is one angel who from his earlobe, from the piece of meat at the bottom of his ear, to his shoulder, is a distance of 700 years. As I mentioned, Shaykh al-Albani said in the authentic hadith, which he authenticates in As-Sahihah, the hadith of Abu Dawood, that there is an angel, one of the bearers of the throne, from the lobe of his ear to his shoulder, is a distance of 700 years. And as we said, this hadith was declared sahih, authentic by Shaykh al-Albani, and it's from a hadith of Jabir, radiallahu an. And Shaykh al-Albani authenticates it in As-Sahihah, hadith number 151. Then he said, and also, that it has supports, that the arsh, the throne, has supports. And also, that it is the ceiling of Jannatul Firdaus, that the arsh is the ceiling of Firdaus. That occurs in authentic ahadith, which are mentioned in the explanation of Ibn Abi al-Izz. And all of this nullifies the false interpretation that the arsh means al-mulk, means kingship, and extensive sovereignty. Then Shaykh al-Albani said, and as for the kursi, the footstool, then regarding that is his saying, he the Most High, وَسِعَ كُرْسِيُّهُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah 255, ayat al-kursi, with the explanation, his footstool extends over the heavens and the earth. Shaykh al-Albani said, and the kursi, The footstool is in front of the throne. Before, it's in front of the throne. And it is authentic from Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, as his saying that he said, Al-Kursi mawdi'ul qadamayn wal-arshu. He said that the kursi, the footstool, is the place of the two feet. And the throne, no one knows its size except Allah the Most High. That's the full statement of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, that the footstool is the place, the kursi is the place of the two feet. And the throne, no one knows its size except Allah the Most High. As we said before, this is reported by Al-Hakim and Ibn Abi Shayba in his book Sifatul Jannah, and Sheikh Albani said it's authentic. Then Sheikh Albani mentions that he's verified this narration in his book Mukhtasar al-Ulu of al-Dhahabi, and he said, and this is not authentic from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I mean, there's nothing authentic. There is nothing authentic from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as his saying, except for his saying, alayhi salatu wasalam. And he mentions the one authentic hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with regard to the kursi, the footstool. مَسَّمَاوَاتُ السَّبْعُ فِي الْكُرْسِي إِلَّا كَحَلْقَةٍ مُلْقَاتٍ بِأَرْضِ فَلَاتٍ وَفَضْلُ الْأَرْشِ عَلَى الْكُرْسِي كَفَضْلِ تِلْكَ الْفَلَاتِ عَلَى تِلْكَ الْحَلْقَةِ. So this is the only authentic hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about the kursi, the footstool, that he said, the seven heavens compared to the footstool are just like a ring thrown into a desert. And the size of the arsh compared to the footstool is like the size of that desert compared to the size of that ring. In other words, that the size of the seven heavens compared to the footstool are just like a ring compared to a desert, a whole desert. And then the kursi, the footstool, compared to the arsh, the throne, is like a ring again in a desert. Then Sheikh Albani finished here by saying, so that nullifies also the misinterpretation of the footstool to mean al-ilm, knowledge. And this interpretation is not authentic from Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, as I have verified in my book As-Sahiha, hadith number 109. Walhamdulillah wa sallallahu ala Muhammad. Any points of clarification? Some of the scholars like Sheikh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, they say the explanation that Firdaus is the center of paradise and is also the highest part of paradise, they say therefore it's a proof that it's dome-shaped. It's a proof that it's dome-shaped. That, I mean, the center is a raised part, it's the highest part, so it's raised, and it's also in the middle, so it means the middle of it is raised. So in other words, they say it's like Sheikh al-Islam Taymiyyah said, mean that it's dome-shaped. Allahu a'lam.
What's the proof for that lava pouring into the canyon?
Allahu a'lam. I don't recall. No, I don't recall. Allahu a'lam. The brother asked a question, which can be homework, inshallah. I learned that from the teachers here. That if the teacher doesn't know an answer or somebody doesn't know the answer, you tell the students it's homework. the homework is. Then what is the evidence? As the brother said, Sheikh Al-Fawzan mentioned that Allah's arsh, as is clear from the ayah on Yom Al-Qiyamah, will be carried by eight angels. And Sheikh Al-Fawzan said before Yom Al-Qiyamah, it will be carried by four angels. What's the evidence for that? So that's the homework.
Is there any difference between Jannatul Na'im and Jannatul Firdaus?
Allahu Akbar. Exactly about the arrangement. Sometimes the questions come about the exact arrangement of paradise. Allahu alam. Don't ask a person of knowledge. Allahu alam. Somebody who knows all the texts and has knowledge of them and understands how all the texts fit together. Allahu alam. Don't ask somebody like that. Inshallah. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. Just an announcement then.